all the way to Thursday here. As I said earlier in the week, obviously a real impressive Indianapolis, a real impressive football team. Do a lot of things well. Shown a lot of poise, a lot of toughness, a lot of resiliency. Explosive team in all three phases of the game. Can really score from anywhere on the field, on any play, regardless of whether they have the ball or not. And, we're going to have to do a good job for 60 minutes all the way across the board. It's going to take everybody and everything we got. So that's what we're building for Saturday night. And so we'll just keep plugging away here.
So you had high praise for Adam Vinatieri. You know, in the past couple years, he's just turned 41 in December 28th. I'm curious, from your experience around kickers, what would be a realistic thought in terms of how long someone like Adam might be able to keep going?
You know, I don't know. He's a special, special guy. I know he trains hard, as he did when he was here with all the other players. Didn't have any like special routine, like a special to have or anything like that. Mentally, I mean, he's as tough as they come. So he's still banging them through. Looks like he's still good. So I don't know. I don't know what the future is, but just watching him now, he's as good as. As good as he's always been, it seems like, you know. He was here in 96 the year I came in. That was his rookie year. He was very consistent, dependable, tough-minded, good technique, player. And doesn't look like it's changed.
When you think about kickers and to get up there in age, does anyone come to mind to you in terms of guys that were still as productive as they were early in their career?
I think a lot of guys have hit, that kicked well, well into their 30s. And beyond that, I used to go all the way to Belanda, right? Kicked when he was 50, whatever it was, 49. So, I don't know, but he's an effective player, and I have a lot of respect for Adam.
You seen them use their running backs in different ways at all?
They all play. Richardson's been a little bit more on third down, but Brown can play in those situations. And they both do a good job. They got a good fullback. He's a good blocker. They use him some protection, too. Doesn't look like they have too much concern for who's in there. They do it, whatever the play calls for, and whether it's be pass protection or running the ball. It's like they can all do it.
Bill, you look around the league, you guys have had a lot of cases where games have come down to the wire. The Colts had that 28-point comeback the other day. You sense some kind of trend in the league, maybe related to rules or the way defenses are playing and allowing for all these comebacks?
It's the way this league's been since I've been in it. Half the games are decided by a touchdown or less, and a quarter of the games are decided by a field goal or less. And in a lot of cases, the games are closer than that, even when the score is more than that. But games come down to the end of the fourth quarter. And so we're ready to play that kind of game every week. I think we have to be. And you see it throughout the league all the time.
The big spreads, you had 24 points against Denver, 28 points. I mean, is any league safe these days?
I don't know. I saw Buffalo come back from a 35-point deficit against Houston in whatever year that was, 92, 93, whatever it was. I don't know.
Bill, I know McCourty made the change to safety a while ago, but just how much has that helped the defense, and what's it say about him that he was able to make that adjustment so well?
I think Devin is one of our hardest-working, best-prepared players. He's a very intelligent player that understands the total defensive scheme. Not just his position, having played corner, he certainly understands the corner play and what needs to be done out there and how the safeties impact the corner's responsibilities and communication, all those things. He's done a good job. He's made the move a couple times for us, actually, but it certainly has helped our play in the deep part of the field over the course of the last year and a half with him back there. I think Steve's done a good job, too, and Duran. When they've been in there, but Devin's he's been really solid for us. Good tackler, got a lot of range. He's got a lot of experience. Smart guy, communicates well with his teammates. So he does a good job.
Bill, full season now after his injury, Dane, how has he, Fletcher, how has he looked to you this year?
Good.
What progress has he made?
Yeah, Dane hasn't missed anything all year from the first day of OTAs, training camp, all season. I mean, he's been right there with, you know, doing what everybody else has done, put it that way. So I don't see any effects from after effects from you know, unfortunately, he got hurt, you know, very early in the 12th season. It was the first preseason game. So the surgery was early. The rehab was in time for him to be able to fully participate with the team through everything we've done this year. So he hasn't missed anything. You know, he worked hard in the off season and even in the season last year, because he was rehabbing in, you know, October, November, December, January as we were playing. You know, he was in the weight room working hard. Getting back, and he was ready to go, and his physical readiness, his mental readiness for this season has been very good.
What kind of leadership and versatility does he bring to the linebacking corps?
I think he brings good leadership to the team, you know, period. I think we saw, especially in the kicking game when, you know, Matt was out for a few weeks there in that first, like, third of the season, wherever it was. You know, Dane was one of the many guys that stepped up and, you know, with his experience and leadership in the kicking game. He's given us that same level of play defensively, whether it be in sub situations or regular situations. You know, he's a dependable guy that we all have a lot of confidence in.
Circling back to the safeties, Devin said last week that he believes Steve is the smartest guy in the secondary. Obviously, Devin's quite smart himself, but I think Akeem said something similar. How much of that, the on-field intelligence, has played a role?
Oh, a lot. I mean, Steve's a very instinctive player. Not only smart, but has good anticipation and awareness of what's happening back there. So I think that's definitely one of his strengths. You know, and Steve's played very well for us, close to the line of scrimmage as well. Not that he's been there a lot, but he's certainly, you know, had his share of plays in short yardage, you know, in running situations where he's made plays down there around the line of scrimmage. He's very instinctive in the running game and the passing game formations. You know, he's, yeah, I mean, we're really fortunate. Like I said, Duran is, you know, for a young guy, has picked that up as well. You know, Steve and Devin have helped him, but, you know, Duran's picked it up well. So, I mean, whichever guys are in there, I don't want to say you don't notice it, but, you know, when as a coach and you're kind of watching everybody out there on the field, sometimes you notice when, you know, a certain player's in there because of, you know, maybe a drop-off or not quite the same level of execution or communication. You know, when those three guys are in there, you kind of really don't – it's sort of seamless. You know, they all communicate well. They all make good decisions, good calls. They're in the right place. They disguise well. It's – I mean, they – you know, they've all done a good job.
Speaking of – I guess Gregory close to the line. I guess how remarkable is it that he's done well given his size?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a tough kid, and he's always been that size, so it isn't like he's changed. That's the way he's played since he's come into this league, and the way it was, you know, in college he played, you know, more corner or some corner, I should say. But in, you know, he's played different responsibilities in this league, but he's been a safety for the majority of it, and that's his, you know, his playing style. He's, you know, he's a tough kid, knows how to handle himself in there.
Well, from your experience, when you've either signed a player that has been with an opponent you're about to face in the past for an extended period of time, or you're facing an opponent that has signed, you know, a player that has been with you, like the Colts just did with Deion Branch, is there anything to be said for, like, the idea that that player could provide any type of information that could either help your team in the case of you having the player or hurt you if you were on the other side of it?
I think that's way overrated. And a lot of times the information in those situations is sometimes it's misinformation because things have changed from whenever that person was. And I'm not saying that in any particular circumstance, I'm just saying in general, you know, a lot of times you know, player that's been with another team tells you something, this is what they do, or this is their call, this is that, and then it turns out that's not really what it is. So, I don't know. Honestly, I think right now, you know, we have enough trouble doing all the things that we do and getting them right and getting everybody to do them well. You know, And I'm sure they have the same thing with the amount of volume that, you know, you have in your different systems and the amount of volume that you face on the other side of the ball. You know, to be able to not only know everything that you're doing, but then also be able to figure out everything that they're doing. It's pretty overrated.
So do you change anything this week because of that? I mean, just us.
We'll do whatever we think's best.
Coach, I'm from NFL Japan. You've been to playoff almost every year in the past 10 years. Can you talk a little bit about your coaching philosophy?
Well, it's really one week at a time, and right now it's just trying to get ready to beat Indianapolis. It's not anything more than that. Last week it was about trying to beat Buffalo, and a week before it was about trying to beat Baltimore, and a week before that was about trying to beat Miami. So take it one game at a time, 1 week at a time, and try to figure out the best thing we can for that week and that game. When it's over, close the book on it, move on to the next team. I don't know about that. You've asked me how what we do, that's what we do. I don't know if it's a key or not, but that's what we try to do.
Bill, is there any added challenge bringing a player like Reggie Dunn Adam to the practice squad? What is the biggest challenge for a player assimilating himself at this point of the season coming in the postseason?
It's simply a case of trying to, you know, take a look at players that you have an interest in, that you have an available spot for in the practice squad. We've done that all year. When there's been a spot, we've brought guys in. Some guys we've had a background with, some guys we haven't. But based on what the needs are of the team, based on what the options are for practice squad eligible players that are out there, and based on what kind of future we think the player might have in the team, well, that's what we did. I mean, whether it was him or Taylor Reed or Greg Orton or, you know, whoever it is, I mean, those are guys that we haven't had. There are other players that we've brought back here, like Mattis, who we have had. So it's no big secret formula or anything. It's taking a look at your positions of need for practice, taking a look at the players that you feel like might have a future with your team, if not this year, maybe next year, looking at your options, trying to decide what the best one is, and making a decision on it.
Of the playoffs affected at all? I mean, obviously you wouldn't bring a player in if you didn't think he could help, I assume, in preparation.
Well, maybe not in preparation, but in need. I mean, again, it's no different than, I mean, it's different, but it's not different than Orton, Reed, Mattis, you know, go on back through the rest of the year. I mean, it's some guys we've had in here on the practice squad that are now on other teams' practice squads or have been signed to reserve future contracts with those teams who are no longer available. Not saying they would or wouldn't be here, but they're not an option. There are the players who have been on our practice squad or off our practice squad that ended up on other teams' 53-man rosters. And we've had guys on our roster that have been on other teams' practice squads and so forth. So, I mean, that's just the NFL. Got a lot of guys, and when you need somebody, you know, I get together with Nick, and Nick gets together with the pro personnel department, talk about what our options are. Sometimes it's clear cut, sometimes there's two or three. You pick the one that you think's best, and then maybe if you get another opportunity, then you go to the next guy. Or if you have a guy in here that doesn't work out, then get somebody else. I mean, like McGuffey, you know, I mean, it's... I mean, we've had, I don't know, five or six of those moves in the last couple of weeks. And there's no, like, magic wand to it. Just work through the process of looking at the personnel that's available and trying to make the best choice, long, short term, and maybe upside potential. Some combination of those things.
Coach, when a team seizes momentum of a football game, how big of a challenge is it to get kind of control of the game back on your side?
Depends on how good you are and how good they are. I mean, the only way to do it is to make a play. I mean, you got to make a play somewhere, whether it's in a kicking game or on offense or on defense, to, you know, try to swing things back in your favor. So whatever those opportunities are, hopefully you can, if that happens, you can do it.
Bill, when you're watching film of T.Y. Hilton, what impresses you the most about him? What stands out to you the most?
I mean, obviously his production. You know, he's productive at all three levels of the defense. I mean, he's a vertical receiver. He's a good intermediate receiver, and he's a good catch and run short receiver that can turn short plays into big plays. So he's a dynamic player that can hurt you in a lot of different ways. He's a good route runner. He's fast. He can get down the field, but he can take a short play and turn it into a long run. Doesn't need a lot of space. Good catcher. He really does everything pretty well.
What is your impression of the other two? The guys like LeBron.
You know, I mean, they've in the opportunities they've had. I mean, they've all stepped up. Whalen and Rodgers, obviously Fleener. I mean, whether you want to call him a receiver or a tight end, you know, whatever he is, Hayward Bay. I mean, those guys have all made plays for him somewhere along the line in different ways. And Luck's done a good job of using all his receivers, using his backs, and obviously tight end in the passing game. I mean, he's done a good job of, you know, going to where the open guy is. I mean, I'm sure if he had his druthers, you know, he'd get it to Hilton, but it's not always Hilton. Sometimes he's covered, or they use him to attract, draw coverage somewhere else, and that opens up opportunities for other guys in the passing game and running game.
So a lot of guys are talking about the gravity of a single game season and how, you know, things might come up in a microscope. For guys who maybe haven't been to the playoffs, do you also have to make sure they're kept even keel and that, you know, they're still playing consistent football and not overthinking?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, football is still football. You know, the field markings haven't changed, and, you know, I mean, nothing's changed. It's still football's football out there, so. You know, we gotta play the game the way that we've played it all year. Tried to play it all year, the same fundamentals and basic concepts. But you know, we all understand it's a one week season, so we need everybody's best this week. We're playing against another great team. We're gonna get their best, so it'll be a highly competitive matchup. I don't think we want to leave a stone unturned or anything less than 100% of our best out on the field Saturday night. That goes for all of us, players, coaches, everybody that has some impact and participation in the game. You know, this is the time to put your absolute best out there. And that's when it'll be needed, too, because we're playing a very good football team. So, and that is what it is.
Along the lines of sort of leaving no stone unturned, I was curious, like, during the regular season, when you know a certain officiating crew is going to be working your game, there might be an expectation, okay, this could be a tightly called game versus this crew doesn't throw as many flags. Now that we have not the full crews working these games, how does that change at all your process leading up to the game in terms of what you anticipate the way it will unfold?
Right. Well, I think there's always a certain amount of gamesmanship, if you will, in that aspect of it. And I certainly understand your comment about the tendencies of certain crews that they call a lot of this or they call a lot of that or whatever. But on the other hand, from game to game, and we've certainly gone into games saying that, well, this is a crew that throws a lot of flags and then they don't throw any, or this is a crew that kind of lets the players play and don't throw many flags, and, you know, we get 10 penalties in the first half. So, you know, I mean, each game has its own dynamics, and I think you have to, at some point in the game, as a team and individually, figure out what type of game this is, you know, and what's, you know, where, how much latitude there is in whatever aspect of it you're playing, wherever your position is that you're playing. You have to figure that out. So I don't think that's any different in this game than any other game. Could be one of those games that's tightly called and there's, you know, 25 penalties in it, and it could be one of those games where there's, you know, half a dozen penalties called. You know, I don't know. I mean, look, the calls that they have to make, you know, false starts and too many men on the field and delay a game and all that, I mean, you know, anybody can make those calls. It's not about an officiating crew calling penalties. Those are penalties that are obvious violations by the teams. Then there are judgment calls that they fall into a different category. So, I mean, those are the ones you got to figure out.
Final
Okay, thank you.